all born lucky. We're all born lucky. I was born lucky, same as you. At times I used to doubt it, but there's no doubt about it. We are all born lucky, and you know it's true. We are all born lucky. We're all born lucky. I was born lucky, same as you. At times I used to doubt it, but there's no doubt about it. We are all born lucky, and you know it's true. I know a gentleman who grew a lump in his head. I know him pretty well because he sleeps in my bed. He's okay now, but he could have been dead. He was born lucky, just like I said.
And good evening and welcome to Outbeat Music. I'm Michaela Kennan, and tonight we're all born lucky as we spend the evening with indie musician and composer Jay Spears. He's a modern-day minstrel with luck in his pocket and songs for everyday people. He's with us right here tonight. Right now, don't go away.
A dirty little secret, but you know it's true. Your daddy got lucky and your mama did too. Do you feel lucky? Same as you. At times I used to doubt it, but there's no doubt about it. We are all born lucky, and you know it's true. We are all born lucky. We're all born lucky. I was born lucky, same as you. At times I used to doubt it, but there's no doubt about it. We are all born lucky, and you know it's true. We are.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Outbeat Music and KRCB-FM. We are also streaming live at krcb.org and outbeatradio.org. Therefore, good evening or good morning to all of our global listeners. If there's anything you'd like to hear or have a guest in mind that might be a good fit for Outbeat Radio, do feel free to email me. It's Michaela, M-I-K-A-L-A, at outbeatradio.org. Remember, we are your first and foremost voice of the LGBT community right here in the North Bay. I do want to give a special shout out to my co-host and fellow Outbeat team member, Gary. He is celebrating a birthday this week, and we hope he has many more to come. Also to Mary Moore Campagna, who is unable to be with us tonight. She's at home being the chicken soup for her husband's soul as he recuperates from a little health issue. So MCMC, our best to you, and Gus, do get well soon. With me tonight on the engineering boards is Mike Young, so very, very happy that he could step in at the last moment. Right now, let's get started with Greg Moralia and the Outbeat News.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, July 14th, 2013. The Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee passed the Employment Non-Discrimination Act 15-7, advancing the bill that would prohibit employment discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. The bill, which does contain religious exemptions, now heads to the full vote of the Senate. where it has a solid majority in favor with 53 co-sponsors. But a majority doesn't guarantee passage in the Senate since so many bills are now filibustered, requiring 60 votes to break. A statement from the White House press secretary said that President Obama welcomes the bipartisan support of the bill. Currently, 17 states and Washington, D.C. extend such protections to LGBT workers, and another four provide protections for just lesbian, gay, and bisexual people. And as the nation continues to react to last month's landmark Supreme Court decisions regarding DUMA and Proposition 8, the state of Indiana has passed a law that makes it a felony for same-sex couples to even apply for a marriage license. In Indiana, you can now be sent to jail for merely asking for a marriage license. The state is also willing to jail a clerk who issues a marriage license to a same-sex couple, as well as a chaplain or any minister who offers to perform a same-sex marriage. This new law means that a same-sex couple asking for a marriage license is committing a felony, punishable for up to 18 months in jail and a $10,000 fine. Everyone else would face misdemeanor charges, which are punishable by up to 180 days in jail and a $1,000 fine. The legislature is also considering a constitutional amendment that would ban same-sex marriage in the state. But in Pennsylvania, that state's Attorney General Kathleen Kane announced this last Thursday that she will not defend the state's so-called Defense of Marriage Act in a legal challenge filed by the American Civil Liberties Union on Tuesday, and she will refuse to defend the other named defendant, Republican Governor Tom Corbett. Kane said, quote, "I cannot ethically defend the constitutionality of Pennsylvania's version of DOMA. I believe it to be wholly unconstitutional." Brian Sims, Pennsylvania's first openly LGBT elected official, applauded Kane's pledge not to defend this discriminatory law. He said, "While this does not mean that marriage equality will become the law in Pennsylvania today, certainly the Attorney General's announcement is a step in the right direction to address the legal inequalities impacting LGBT Pennsylvanians." And here locally, Outbeat News has been following several stories of same-sex couples and how the Supreme Court decision has impacted them. Sonoma County District Attorney Chief Deputy Diana Gomez and her wife Heidi Fowers said, "We are finally the same as everyone else." Gomez and Fowers, who have been together for almost 20 years and lived in Petaluma for the last 12, said, "We have the same rights and obligations and benefits as everyone else. If something happens to one of us, our family is protected. We pay our taxes and we pay the same as everyone. I've spent my career as a district attorney fighting for the rights of others while not enjoying these same rights myself. Now we finally have them." Gomez and Fowers have two children, a 15-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter, both of whom are very pleased. Gomez said, "For our kids, it allows them to say, 'Yes, my parents are married,' instead of, 'My parents live together.'" Fowers added, "It's the things straight couples don't have to worry about that mean the most to her. We've been audited for the past 3 years in a row for claiming as married on our federal income tax returns. We've had to take our children's birth certificates with us on trips around the country, things that no straight couple has ever had to worry about. We've gone through the different levels of inferior relationship status and domestic partnerships, and now we can just be married." And if you're a same-sex couple or know one that would want to get married, we would love to marry you on one of our upcoming radio shows. We'll provide you with a wedding officiant and a champagne toast. For details and to sign up, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, July 15th, and every Monday at 5:30 p.m., the Petaluma Health Center will host an LGBTQ support group at 1179 North McDowell Boulevard in Petaluma. And also on Monday at 7 p.m., the Parents of Transgender Youth Support Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Tuesday, July 16th, at 6:30 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group will meet at the Positive Images Center. And finally, on Wednesday, July 17th at 5 p.m., Spectrum's LGBT Youth Support Group will gather at the Spectrum LGBT Center, 30 North San Pedro Road, Suite 12 in San Rafael. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our website at outbeatnews.com. And follow us all week long on Facebook and Twitter for the latest LGBT news and information from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Guy in the sky, I don't believe in some guy in the sky. You can if you want to, but I don't know why, because there's no such thing as a guy in the sky.
in Santa Claus when I was young too. A billion underaged believers don't make it true. No reindeer sleigh brings joy from on high, and Christmas cheer is not some chubby guy in the sky. Guy in the sky, guy in the sky. I don't believe in some guy in the sky. You can if you want to, but I don't know why, because there's no such thing as a guy in the sky. Retarded guy in the sky. Guy in the sky. Guy in the sky. I don't believe in some guy in the sky. You can if you want to, but I don't know why, because there's no such thing as a guy in the sky. The whole human race gazes into space, praying for loud and proud, but he won't come to solve our problems riding on a cloud. Ain't nobody up there can say it any clearer. If you want to see your savior, better look in the mirror.
Guy in the sky, guy in the sky. I don't believe in some guy in the sky. You can if you want to, but I don't know why, because there's no such thing.
Should have known long ago when you told me you would go, that the longer the sunshine, the harder the rain. Guess forewarned was an art. Never dreamed I'd feel so low, but I won't let the sun catch me crying again. Though I gave you a lot, that's not half of what I've got. And the pain's just the payment for what I've been taught. I remain high above, alone and strong and open, secure, enduring, hoping high above. Dry the tears that I wept for the secrets that we kept, realizing the promise those secrets contained, the serene, balmy calm of the mornings when we slept. I'll just have to accept that only memories remain.
Yes, I know you never lied. Guess I let my heart get high,
but I won't blow my cover. I'll take it in stride.
I remain
space since we last stood in that place and agreed to allow what we could not explain. All the years can't erase senses of that last embrace, and my mind starts to chase thoughts my heart entertains, and it's easy for me now at last that I'm free. If you're back, I'm ready. If not, you will see I remain. I abide, alone and strong and open, secure, enduring, hoping, at last at peace about you. With you or without you, I abide.
And Jay Spears is a near L.A. resident whose signature style has been described as fun grooves with juicy harmonies, extra crispy guitars, and out loud lyrics. Influenced greatly by theater and cinema, he's played everywhere from pit orchestras and auditoriums to film venues in festivals worldwide. In 2003, his album Boy Howdy was nominated for Outstanding Music by Out Music, and his I Like Mike video featuring swing-dancing baseball players was the first ever to play on Viacom's logo channel. He's been called the gay love child of Randy Newman and Tom Waits. Jay, welcome to Outbeat Music.
What a pleasure and delight to be here. What's going on up in my old stomping grounds up there?
Hey, it's actually a bit chilly. We had a lot of hot weather last week, and now it's sweater weather, so we're doing fine.
Excellent. Well, that's good.
Good. Okay, hold on.
I don't know if your listeners realize that I went to school up there. I was a Sonoma State boy for a couple of years, where I learned a lot of my musical education background up there.
Is that right? You know, we're not too far from Sonoma State. It's just about 2 or 3 miles down the road.
Yep.
So small world, isn't it?
Small world.
Right. Do you have your radio on in the background?
I don't. I was streaming it and I turned it off.
Okay. We're getting a little bit of an echo, so.
I'm having trouble getting much volume out of my phone from you guys, but I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. And if at any time you need me to speak up, we'll see what we can do on this end, okay?
I'm not shy.
I guess not. It's hard to kind of follow up with an intro like that, but let's see. If you were to describe your musical style to the first-time listener, what would you say?
I call my musical style as California guitar pop, but a friend of mine coined the genre homo pop for it because I do sometimes sing about boy meets boy love tunes,
mm-hmm.
which of course I Like Mike would be one of them, and Crying Over Brian would be another.
Right, right. We're going to play I Like Mike a little bit later. And I'm gonna play My Ray as well, but we'll get to that.
That will be some two excellent examples of homo pop.
Good, good. Well, others have noted you to be everything from eccentric to greatly profound with some of your lyrics, using words like funny, angry, sexy, generous, badly behaved, even.
Yep.
Would you agree with all of those?
Absolutely. I think the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about, of course.
That's true. That's true. So let me ask, is the music also your voice? Is it who you've always been, or have you kind of gradually come into that voice over time?
Over the last 10 years, my last three albums over the last 10 years, I definitely feel that I've grown into my voice and found my voice. Any artist will tell you that they start out, trying to figure out what their deal is and hopefully growing to it. I'm very gratified by feedback I've gotten about my third album, We Are All Born Lucky, the one that that I just released, about how me it is and how authentic it is. I hate to kind of brag about myself like that, but that's what the information I'm getting about it, which is what you want to do. I want the music to be me, and I want to express myself and not some idea of what a rock star is or what a pop star should be or what a singer-songwriter is or that kind of thing. That's why that reviewer that you quoted earlier said that he has no, describing me as no interest in being cool or evasive or postmodern.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go out there and haul off with a song from the audience about my Ray or crying over Brian, you know, some jaws drops, but everyone's delighted.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there are other singer-songwriters in the crowd, because like me, we're all just trying to, you know, tell our story and tell the truth with pretty harmonies and a nice beat. And so that's sort of my take on songwriting. Usually I have to get inspired emotionally by something or some person, mm-hmm. and a song will come out of it, and I express my feelings about it in the song.
Sure. So
as you listeners just heard, I'm so interested to know why you picked Guy in the Sky and I Abide off my new album. I mean, I'm delighted that you did, but if I were to have guessed what song is she going to play off the album, I would not have picked those two. But as your listeners just heard, you know, how often does a person write a song of being an atheist?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, so that's what Guy in the Sky is. Sorry, I don't believe in a guy in the sky anymore, and I used to.
Right.
I don't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example of it.
Sure, and that's a maturity progression, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And certainly on my first album, it would never be right about that.
Right.
Same deal with one of my most watched music videos on YouTube is Smack Damn Christian, which is my full choir gospel tune, and it's a popular music video on YouTube. But again, that's not about religion. It's about politics,
mm-hmm.
separation of church and state. And so this song that you played, Guy in the Sky, is a direct result of that. Because if I would tell people, oh, no, that song is not about religion, it's about politics. You say, oh, well, what is your song about religion? And there it is.
There it is, sure. Well, I think I picked it in part because I wanted to do a nice cross-section of the music that I had access to. And
yeah.
Partly in conversation, and we'll get to this in a little while, it is that edgy political side, you know, that out loud part of you that I was trying to emphasize in terms of the variety and the different styles of music that you bring into everything that you call your sound.
And also in my sound, you have in Guy in the Sky, it starts with a guy and a guitar, grows into a huge thing with a horn section and a full rhythm section and a bunch of harmonies and everything, and ends with a guy and a guitar. So it's a full-on big band number.
Mm-hmm.
And the second song you played, I Abide, is just me and my guitar with three of my close and dear friends singing harmony.
Okay.
So, I do like to have quite a bit of... there's not much homogeneity in my albums. There's a great variety of musical styles happening.
Right. And that actually answers the question, because Mike and I were talking and wondering if maybe you didn't do a lot of your own vocal parts and then just put them all together, because there were some similarities in the tones. And we were wondering if you maybe did two or three parts and then put them all together as one.
Oh, gotcha. Some songs I sing harmony with myself because I want it to be I kind of want it to be one voice kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Like when the big one hits, I sing all the parts myself. In Guy in the Sky, I had other people singing in the chorus in all the harmony parts, and in I Abide that we just heard, I had three dear friends of mine,
mm-hmm.
on it. So sometimes I'll sing my own harmonies. And in fact, in Guy in the Sky, during the verses, I mean, during the choruses, I sing the three parts of harmony with myself.
Okay.
But in the bridge and the other stuff, I love having my guest artists who are 10 times better singers than me, that I know from theater and from all through my life, that are extremely talented, both instrumentalists and singers. I browbeat and guilt trip them into being on my album. I love having my guest artists sing and play on my tunes.
And then I read where you were really influenced a lot by the Beatles. How so?
Oh, yeah. When I was growing up, we would get the Beatles albums, of course, and we'd play all their stuff. And then my dad had a guitar, and my older brother hogged it most of the time. But one day I was able to get it away from him and sneak it into my room and start to learn to play. And so I wanted to play the Beatles songs, but if you were to buy Beatles songbooks and whatnot, they were usually piano arrangements,
yeah,
and not in the keys that the Beatles would play in.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't take long for me to realize that there's something wrong. And so I just learned more and more chords, and then and learned to play by ear and just copy the Beatles songs from what I heard on the guitar. And back then, you have that fake stereo, you know, that had all the voices on one side and all the instruments on the other.
Right.
And you could balance it over so the voices were gone, and you could just hear all the guitar parts. And that's one way I learned to play. And I really admire Paul McCartney, and so I like to make my bass parts. I play bass on all of my songs as well as guitar,
mm-hmm,
except I have one guest star bass player on my new album for one song. But I always like to play, like Paul McCartney, very melodic bass lines, and I usually write them out, because that's what I learned. It's no mistake how to write counterpoint and stuff like that. So I like to incorporate all that in. And as I enjoy telling people, when I was in college, I played guitar, banjo, mandolin in the pit orchestras for the musicals.
Wow.
And that's how I earned money. That was my job during college.
Uh-huh.
And so you learn a whole lot about guitar, because practically all the scores of things like, you know, Hello Dolly has all that banjo in it, right, and Showboat, and those are all those kind of Americana on the Mississippi banjo shows, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ Superstar guitar, Man of La Mancha, Spanish guitar, Fiddler on the Roof, mandolin, that kind of thing. And so I learned a lot of my guitar playing from that, and that influences my songwriting as well. I don't really come from a rock and roll background of guitar playing. I come from more of an American jazz kind of background by way of the Beatles.
Yeah, what a roundabout way. Were you musical from a very early start in your life?
My mom was great. She was a great mom, and she made sure that we had books and records galore. And from my earliest memories, we had a record player, a little Decca box record player with a 45 thing on it. We had records all the time. We always had records, and we would always had music. We were always playing them. And it wasn't that our parents would do it for us. We just had them, and as part of our toys, is we had records and records and records, 45s, and we would just play them. And my dad, instead of had guitar, we would have sing-alongs and stuff like that when I was a kid. So the short answer is yes.
That's great. Who were some of the other influences? You said Paul McCartney, the Beatles, of course. Did you grow up with some of the folk singers, you know, New Christy Minstrels and Peter, Paul, and Mary, and those guys?
And, Simon and Garfunkel. Later on, I developed a taste for early sort of vintage jazz from the 30s and 40s, like the Boswell sisters, who were like the precursors of the Andrews sisters. Because back then, I would only be interested in it because they would have a guitar. They would have a guitar in the big band arrangement. And it was the beginnings of electric guitar, and guitars were finally being able to be heard in a big band because they were finally being electrified. And so the Boswell sisters, who were from Louisiana, and they sang these
filthy sounding harmonies that were great, predating the Andrews Sisters, and the Andrews Sisters sort of based themselves on them, and the Andrews Sisters got a lot more famous. But if you go on YouTube, you can find the Boswell Sisters, and they're great. And they had a guitar player named Tim McDonough, who figured prominently in all their arrangements. Usually they'd have a big band arrangement, and then it would break into just him on the guitar and the three of them singing their three-part harmonies. It's great. Mm-hmm. And so I really got into that, and the Andrews Sisters, and other early American vintage jazz. I love Scott Joplin. Mm-hmm. When I was at Sonoma State, I played in a Scott Joplin band where there was a piano, banjo, bass, and guitar. And we did a lot of his rags. So I have a lot of influences. Of course, I'm a huge Vivaldi and Bach fan, and I just love hearing the harpsichords. I think maybe I was a plucked string instrumentalist in a previous life.
Yeah, well, no doubt. So, and strings seems to be your thing, right? All yeah. forms of the stringed instrument.
Well, it's true. I never use keyboards on my albums. It's all guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Except the song Revolution on my new album. I have an excellent guest harpsichord player because it's sort of a takeoff on a French Revolution Baroque song from the 1790s. So it has that sort of Baroque thing. And he plays a wicked, excellent harpsichord part on it.
Well, you know what I want to do at this point is go into the I Like Mike song. So let's, because I'm really curious about the swing dancing baseball players. So
okay, well you won't see them swing dancing on the track, but your viewers can find go to my YouTube channel, Jay Spears. Just search Jay Spears on YouTube after the show is over, of course.
Of course,
and see. And they can see the video with the swing dancing baseball players to this song, which is I Like Mike.
Okay, here we go.
I like Mike, what's not to like?
We like Mike, what's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. Plays hardball, that's my Mike.
He's always playing hardball.
That's my Mike. Got the leather, got the lumber. He's a true all-star. A permanent pirate in his muscle car. He's always playing hardball, that's my Mike.
He's always playing hardball.
That's my Mike. I like Mike. What's not to like?
We like Mike. What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. Mike's got an attitude bordering on bratitude. Big boys makes him all cocky. Mike holds his own because he's short, but he's stocky. He's got an attitude bordering on bratitude.
Mike's got an attitude. Give the guy some latitude.
I like Mike. What's not to like?
We like Mike. What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. Mike doesn't chew because I asked him not to.
He doesn't chew because it's what you asked him not to do.
He asked me to dance, but I sat it out. Mike got the hint and he spat it out. He doesn't chew because I asked him not to.
Mike doesn't chew because it's what you asked him not to do.
I like Mike. What's not to like?
We like Mike. What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. What's not to like?
Permanent pirate.
That's my mic.
Muscle car all-star.
What's not to like?
Sat it out, spat it out.
I like Mike.
Ball player boyfriend.
What's not to like?
Boy player ball friend.
That's my mic.
Ball player boyfriend.
What's not to like? He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike.
And you know, your music is infectious. It's very easy to tap your toes, and those little lines will start repeating before you know it. So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Tell us the story behind all of that now.
About I Like Mike?
The I Like Mike video and how it all came about.
Okay. Well, Mike is an actual person. Usually when a songwriter writes a song about a person, he's not actually writing about that person. He's writing about how do I feel about that person. So Mike is an actual pal of mine who played in the gay softball league with me and who I fell in love with. Uh-huh. And so I wrote this song about him. Now, tragically, Mike already had his boyfriend, Kevin. So I was the odd man out, so to speak. But at least I got a great song out of it. Anyway, he's a baseball fan, a baseball player, and played on my team. And so I wrote all this sort of baseball things about I Like Mike. And it's true. And, you know, you got to, you know, speak the truth when you write your songs. And I like Mike, and I do to this day, and we're still friends and everything like that. It's
good.
Totally cool. And when the album came out, we had to pick a song to make a music video out of it. And as I said, I was playing in the gay softball league, and of course I still play softball now. And my softball teammates all came out for the video shoot and played the baseball player parts. And my pals, swing dancing, cowpoke two-stepping pals from Wilkin Harry's here in L.A., which is the gay two-step and country western place here, they came out as well, put jerseys on everybody, and there, voila, you have a swing dancing baseball team.
I think it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see it myself. So
very, very good. It's there for your perusal.
And then how did you get connected with Logo?
The I Like Mike music video played in gay film festivals all around the world. And when Logo was just starting, the short films person caught it at the San Francisco Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, where I was present at the showing of it, and I had a little brief interview about it on stage in front of the audience before it was played. And so I didn't meet her there, but they contacted me later and said, hey, can we put this on TV? I said, yeah.
That's fabulous. Do you know if it still plays at all, or?
No, although there are some versions on YouTube that are the Logo version of it with their call letters and whatnot in the introduction.
Okay.
To it that says like Logo short films or something like that. But yeah, so it was in rotation for that first year, and so I don't think they have a vintage oldies mm-hmm. oldies section or anything yet. But it's not playing now because they would let me know if it were.
Sure. Now that was probably what 2008 or 2009, somewhere in that
no,
area.
No, it was 2003.
Really, that long ago?
3 or 4, yeah. Yeah, that my first album came out in late 2002. That is Boy Howdy.
Mm-hmm.
That had I Like Mike and Crying Over Brian. And then my second album, Playing on My Team, came out in 2006. And then, as you may know, I had a sort of a hiatus between then and now, before being able to release my third album, We Are All Born Lucky.
Right, and that was the little health crisis that you went through.
I went through a drama, medical drama. So I got cancer, and there I was, minding my own business. Next thing I know, I had a big, fat tumor growing out of the back of my head.
Mm.
And so I had a lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had surgery, had it chopped off the back of my head, chemotherapy, which was worse than cancer, I'll tell you that right now. And I'm pretty much over it now. This is all back in like 2010 and through the middle of 2012 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was no fun at all. But anyway, I couldn't, was not up to production and producing stuff or writing anything during that whole thing. So that sort of had me sidelined while I was being drugged into oblivion to get rid of that.
Goodness. So did something within you change at that point in terms of your creativity and your style or the way you wrote or the things you thought about writing?
Well, I'm of two minds about that. My initial reaction is, you know, people like to say that, well, you know, when you go through a huge thing like that, you go through a huge problem and it makes you stronger. No, it was a big train wreck mess waste of time and pain and agony and stupidity. That's what it was. That's what I feel about it on the one hand. On the other hand, my new album's called We Are All Born Lucky. And I had named it that before any of this happened. But I hadn't written the song. I didn't even know when I named the album whether or not I was going to write a song to be the title song for the album. I thought maybe the album would just be named that. For instance, Boy Howdy, there isn't a song called Boy Howdy on my album Boy Howdy. So sometimes the album doesn't have a title song. But anyway, so I named the album We Are All Born Lucky, which is just a random line from Hemingway's Old Man and the Sea, which I recently read, and the line just jumped out at me from the book, and I really liked it. So that's what I named my album. Then this whole thing happened. And so on the other side of that, I'd say, well, I decided to write a song. And so my song, We Are All Born Lucky, includes part of that. The part of it, one of the verses, is about me having a lump in my head. And so the song, We Are All Born Lucky, you know, actually came out of that, which it might not have had, you know, if I hadn't gone through that. So.
Right.
So good. I got a good song out of the deal. Just like I couldn't, just like I like Mike, but we can't be together. But hey, at least I got a good song out of that deal. I got a good song out of having a lump in my head, too.
I think you have a lot of good songs. A lot of your songs, too, have this out loud. Well, I love that phrase, by the way, the out loud socio-political edge to them. And I'm thinking two songs in particular, Dismissed with the Quicks and Positive.
Oh, yeah, Positive and Dismissed with the Quicks are both on Boy Howdy, my first album. And they, you know, they were experiences that you have in gay culture and gay life, you know, a lot. So Dismissed with the Quicks is about how we can be mean to each other, you know, when we're out of the club or dancing and you meet somebody, and you can either be nice or not, and that's what that's about. And Positive is about, you go on a date with a guy and he tells you, oh, by the way, I'm HIV positive, and you just meet him and you're kind of attracted to him and you think you like him and you're all kinds of, okay, now what do you do? So that's what I wrote, and then those experiences both happened to me, and I wrote songs about them.
Sure. Well, let's take a listen to them. Okay,
I'll be listening along.
Okay, very good. Here we go.
Thank you.
It couldn't be a fluke, 'cause me and my pal Duke heard how you rejected a guy we both respected. All we could say was, wow, when he told us how he was dismissed with the quicks. Dismissed with the quicks. And that guy you hosed last week, my favorite ex, you freak. He wasn't trying to screw ya, he just said hello to ya, but you turned on your heel. How do you think it feels to be dismissed with the quicks? You pitilessly dissed him. Dismissed with the quicks. You flushed him from the system. You're thinking you're so fine, but you're way out of line. Snooty pseudo dude, bratty attitude. So spare me all the drama, cut down on the trauma. Play nice like your mama taught ya. Dismissed with the quicks. Dix, dix, dix. And now you're hitting on me. You have got to be K-I-double-D. Help me out now. I-N-G. To forgive is divine, but you've been such a swine. We'll hear your piggy squeals when you see how it feels to be dismissed with the quicks. I'm telling all my sisters, dismissed with the quicks. Your history now, mister. Dismissed with the quicks. You had it coming to ya. Dismissed with the quicks. Now crawl back to your sewer. Dismissed with the quicks. You smarmy little pup.
Dismissed with the quicks.
Come back when you grow up.
Dismissed with the quicks. 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 Dismissed with the quicks.
Met a big smiley jarhead, and there wasn't much doubt. He's sizing me up, I'm checking him out. Made a date for the weekend, and I was delighted. Couldn't wait, couldn't sleep, I was too excited. So we went to the beach, and I'm thinking, doggone, we're hitting it off, it's turning me on. Then he looks me in the eye, honest as the sky, and he says, I'm an HIV positive guy. And I go, oh, ah,
positive, he says he's positive. Positive, he says he's positive.
Well, I looked out to sea, and I gave a little cough. It's bumming me out, it's ticking me off. Well, I felt bad, but call a spade a spade. I don't want to dodge a bullet every time I get laid. So I go, ah,
positive. He says he's positive.
You know, Jay, one of the things that I find incredibly fun to listen to are all the different little sound effects and layers and textures that you work with.
Yeah, and I can't, Michaela, I just cannot help it. I got to make jokes about everything.
Yes.
So I try to keep a little tongue-in-cheek, a little sense of humor about even the most, you know, awkward situations.
Sure, sure. How do you go about writing these pieces? Do you make a social observation, or do you, maybe it's just as like reading a line from Hemingway, a melody right. comes, is there any rhyme or reason?
Usually it's the idea first, and I write the right part of the, at least the chorus, or get an idea for a snatch of a match of the verse or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and I start to embroider on that and get the words in place, and then I set it to a melody. Those two tunes, by the way, Dismissed with the Quicks, that goes out to my pal Duke, who mentioned in the song.
Okay.
Love you, mister. And then my pal Brian, who I wrote the second song about. So these are real, you know, it seems to me that I get inspired by reality. I guess I have some songs that are made up of whole cloth, but usually there's a person or an incident involved.
Mm-hmm.
But usually I'll get the idea down or come up with the concept or the idea of a song, and then I'll be coming up with rhymes about it, and what does a rhyme suggest, and what am I trying to say about it. I need three verses and a bridge and a chorus. And so that's why I start structuring it and sorting it out.
Sure. And we're not going to play it tonight, but I remember listening to, I believe it's Lullaby for B.
That's correct.
And B, I'm guessing, is your mom? Or was
it
your
is,
mom?
B's my mom, that's right.
Uh-huh.
She when I wrote that, she was 86 or something. Michaela, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, good. And we were just putting her in an old folks' home.
I see.
So a lot of people have to go through that, and it was really made me really sad. I wrote a comforting for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lullaby for her, and then and that was Lullaby for B. Then after she passed away, She lived to the ripe old age of 93. Wow. I was still devastated, of course. And on my new album, This Is One My Heart Won't Win, is me coming to terms with, you know, I'm not going to be able to solve this. She's gone. I'm not going to be able to solve it. Mm-hmm. I won't be able to fix it. Mm-hmm. This is one my heart won't win. So, yeah, it usually takes involvement with a real person, a real incident to flog me into putting in all the work it takes to write a song.
Unfortunately, a lot of us get to the point where we need to be flogged before we move on or make the changes that we need to, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that your music basically conveys the heart that you wear on your sleeve. And that is such an authentic, real part of who you are in the world.
Yeah.
When you write... go ahead.
No, I'm just out here, you know, telling my story and expressing myself, and it's the way I got to do it.
Mm-hmm. And is that your intent? Is it to point out what you feel you need to point out, say what you feel you need to say, as compared to simply a creative expression?
I guess it's a little of both. I want to, you know, I have this feeling about something and I want to share it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've had this experience and I want to tell people about it. And not only that, I want to tell people what it did to me or how it affected me. Or what I feel about it. And that's what songwriters, you know, do, is that they want to communicate something and tell people how you feel about it. Like in Smack Them Christians Down, I want to say, I wrote that directly because of Doma.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote that when Doma was passed, I wrote this. Look, keep your religion out of our country. Mm-hmm. That's what the song is about. Mm-hmm. Or keep your religion out of our government and keep your religion out of our politics. That's what the song is about. And it was specifically for that. Revolution, on my new album, I wrote specifically when it was in, what was it, Massachusetts? No, I mean in Michigan or Ohio, when that governor took away the bargaining rights for the unions in his entire state.
Uh-huh.
And so that was subsequently reversed by a referendum, voter referendum. But he took away the collective bargaining rights for everybody, and I wrote that song, Revolution. And I based it on, look, when... You know, we're only going to take so much before the, you know, what's now called the 99%, you know,
mm-hmm.
starts taking people off to the guillotine, and that's what happened in, you know, 1790 in France.
Right.
And so it's specific things like that, that this is how I feel about it. I'm not going to take it anymore. Here's a song.
Okay, with a powerful message. And that's one of the keys to you, to the success of what you do. It's, as I said, it's infectiously uncomplicated, and yet it will turn around and kind of hit you upside the head because you're saying, wow, the guy's got a point.
Right.
And
I try to not be too preachy, and in the music video for Smack Them Christians Down, the director was saying, okay, then this is where you get hit, and then here he hits you, and wait, hey, I'm the rock star here. I'm the diva. How come I get to be smacked down? And he was so 100% right,
mm-hmm.
because it knocked me off of whatever high horse I might have been on to have me, you know, be humbled a little bit during when I'm singing it. And, you know, no one likes to be preached at, even if they totally agree with your message. They don't want to hear it. You know, so you want to kind of involve them in a humorous way and stuff like that, and that's how you get people to hear your message.
Sure, and where your impact is most powerful.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. Well, are you doing anything special these days? Special gigs coming up, or?
I'm working on music videos galore. Apparently, the music industry is such that there's no point in having a song anymore. You got to have a music video for it.
Sure.
So I did a music video for We Are All Born Lucky, the title song of my new album. A British pal of mine did a music video, and I worked on it with him for When the Big One Hits, which is the lead-off song on We Are All Born Lucky about our fab yet shaky California lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
When the big one hits, and you know it's going to hit soon, and L.A. is going to come up to Sonoma and visit you guys. And
you're welcome.
So that's two music videos, and I'm in the middle of shooting one for City of Angels, which is my song about L.A. on on We Are All Born Lucky. So I'm up to my neck in music video production.
Okay.
All of which can be found on my YouTube channel.
There you go. So it's Jay Spears, and it's J-A-Y-S-P-E-A-R-S.
Jay Spears, just like Britney, just like Jay-Z and Britney. Okay, so put that together.
Very good. And it's jayspears.com.
My own website, of course, is jayspears.com. Yes. J-A-Y-S-P-E-A-R-S.com. Jayspears.com is all my... More than anyone ever needed to know about me is on there.
Well, I know. I hope you get a whole bunch of hits after tonight. So
excellent.
I'll tell you what. Thank you so much for being with us. We're right up to the top of the hour. And good luck to you, my friend. You know, keep on doing what you're doing, and thank you for sharing yourself with us, okay?
Cheers, Michaela. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck to you.
Good night.
Good night. And I do want to invite all of you to join us next week on Outbeat Collage. Gary and I will be talking with Jennifer Adams. She's the owner of Mavericks, which is one of Santa Rosa's newest dance clubs. They also host a weekly LGBT rave every Tuesday evening. We'll also be chatting with local author Emilio Gonzalez about his new book, Cigar City Stories. Once again, my thanks to Jay Spears, to Mike Young, of course, for engineering this evening, to you, our faithful audience, for spending your time with us. I'm Michaela Kennan. From all of us here at Outbeat Radio, I do remind you to have a great week. Remember how lucky you are, and always keep a song in your heart. We'll see you next time.
I know him pretty well because he sleeps in my bed. He's okay now, but he could have been dead. He was born lucky, just like I said. We are all born lucky. We're all born lucky. I was born lucky, same as you. At times I used to doubt it, but there's no doubt about it. We are all of all the lucky ducks through all the years who had to get lucky just for us to be here. A dirty little secret, but you know it's true.